Have you heard a preacher recently talking about the second coming of Christ, perhaps on the radio or even in person, who are just so sure that the Lord is coming just any time now? Well, there have been many predictions made about when Christ would come again. I recall studying about William Miller and Ellen White, prominent in the Seventh-day Adventist movement, Charles Taze Russell, Judge Rutherford, involved in the Jehovah's Witness movement, and they were sure that Jesus was coming when they were able to predict it. Well, they were all wrong. They're all deceased, but they were thinking Jesus was coming in their lifetime. Well, some in the Church of Christ now are falling for Max King's doctrine. This is a false teacher in the Lord's church who is teaching the second coming of Christ occurred in AD 70 at the destruction of Jerusalem. Well, that's just so false. Everybody ought to be able to see that. So I think it would be good for us to study this morning the second coming of Christ and stay with the scriptures. How we approach the Word of God is eternally important. Are we trying to prove a theory? Number one. Are we trying to confirm what we already believe? Number two. Are we trying to look for what we want to find? Number three. Or are we trying to seek the truth with an open mind? Number four. Well, it better be number four, of course. Notice in James 1, 21 and 22, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So let's study God's word and answer the following questions, which we'll note in a moment, concerning the second coming of Christ. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE, as we should know that's preparing for eternity, the most important thing we could be doing. Now, let me take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as we gather together in our Bible classes. Of course, we look forward to studying God's precious Word. As we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so in a proper attitude and in accordance to the New Testament pattern, thus in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. Something else we want to mention is we look forward to having Bible studies. If you're interested in setting up a time at your convenience, please let us know and we'll be glad to do that. And if you have questions concerning the Bible or comments, positive or negative, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151. And our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. We're ready now to begin our study of the second coming of Christ. And I would like for us to start out with our text this morning, and that would be 1 Thessalonians 4, 13, verse 13 through chapter 5, verse 2. Let us begin. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, that's the second coming, of course, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, where? In the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So let's begin now in answering our questions concerning the second coming of Christ. Why is Christ coming again? First, let's notice that Christ is not coming to do the following. He is not coming to establish his kingdom. Hebrews 12:28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. The kingdom is here now. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and the church of Christ are one and the same. Notice in Mark 9:1, Jesus told some disciples that they would not taste death until they had seen the kingdom come with power. And they did. Acts 2, as you see in 1-4, the immersion of the power of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, the Holy Spirit baptism, that is, occurred as they were waiting, as Jesus told them, there in Jerusalem. They were together in one place. And as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance, they began to speak in languages that they had never studied. And all the people present that day there in Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost, they were hearing the gospel preached in their own language, as you study chapter 2. Yes, the kingdom came with power. In Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. No one should miss it. The kingdom is the church of Christ. Well, something else we need to know, that, and this is again, Christ is not coming to do the following. He's not coming to die again as a sacrifice. Everybody should understand that. Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Something else. Christ is not coming to teach or to offer another chance. No, sir. As you study Matthew 25:31-34, the judgment scene, and verse 46. And note with me now 2 Thessalonians 1:7-10. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. That's right. We need to be prepared for that great day. It's too late to change at that time. So let us now answer the question, why is Christ coming again? Well, according to the scriptures, Christ is coming to raise the dead. John 5:28-29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Second, he's coming to judge the living and the dead of all nations. 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And study, of course, Matthew 25:31-34, Jude 15 as well. Number three, he's coming to reward the obedient and to punish the disobedient according to how we have lived in this life. Well, this is 2 Corinthians 5:10, is it not? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We'll stand before God as individuals and give an account for what we have done in our lifetime. Now, number four, Jesus is coming again to deliver the church of Christ, which is the kingdom. He's going to deliver the kingdom to God. 1 Corinthians 15:24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Right now, Jesus has all power. He has all authority in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28:18. But on that great day, the end of time, when we're delivered up as those faithful in the kingdom, then Jesus will put down all rule and all authority and power at that time. Question number two we want to answer now is, what will be the manner of Christ's coming? Well, first, Christ will not be coming in the following manners. He will not come secretly, as the Jehovah's Witnesses teach. Notice with me Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. That's not secretly, is it? Second, he will not come as some other prophet, such as Bahá'u'lláh, as the Bahá'í faith teaches. He was a self-claimed prophet, could do no miracles. It's a false belief. They think Jesus is a prophet of God, but they don't see him as the only begotten Son of God who has all authority and is reigning in heaven now. Notice John 14:1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The Lord will be the one to come again, not as some man that claims to be a prophet. Well, let's now answer the question, what will be the manner of Christ's coming? He will come in the following manner. He will come personally, as we just noted, Acts 1:11, which also said, that is the angel, the angel said to the disciples, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." So he's coming personally. He's coming with noise as well. As we read a moment ago in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Christ is coming visible to everyone. personally, with noise, and visible to everyone. As we read a moment ago in Revelation 1:7, every eye shall see him. All the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. They're going to certainly see him. And fourth, Jesus Christ will come audibly to those in the graves. John 5:28, marvel not at this, the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. I want us to note in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the resurrection chapter, verses 51 through 57. Let's take time to read this together. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 beginning. Excuse me. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly right, isn't it? And something else we want to mention, number five, as we're noting, Jesus will be coming in the following manner. He will come in his glory, and all the holy angels will be with him. Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. That's what the scriptures reveal, isn't it? That's what we need to stay with. And six, Jesus will come as a thief in the night, as we've noted already in 1 Thessalonians 5:2. Note 2 Peter 3:10, the first part of the verse, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. That's how Jesus will come. And that's what the Bible says. Now let's stay with the scriptures. Here's our third question to ask. When will Christ come again? As we started out the program, there's been those who think it's going to be very shortly. There's others who have predicted. They thought they knew the exact date, and they all failed. What does the scripture say? We need to note. So when will Christ come again? Well, he sure didn't come when all these others have tried to predict it. We know that. Second, the Word of God tells us that no man knows when Christ will come again. Let's note, here's what the Bible says, Mark 13:32. No one should miss this. Mark 13:32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. And you notice this is the context of the second coming. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. That's the end of time. That's when Jesus will come again to judge all mankind that's accountable. So take heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is, verse 33. So this is Bible. And no man should say that he knows, when not the angels know. And in this verse, neither the Son. Well, that's Christ himself. But now, when he was in the flesh, it could be that he knows now that he's in heaven. Certainly he will know when that time is, when the Father says it's time. But we need to accept that. This is God's Word, and no one should say otherwise and try to predict when the second coming will happen. Period. Third, it will be without notice. When will Christ come again? There's no signs. There's no notice to know what, you know, when it's getting close. No, that's not true. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night, and the thief doesn't call you up and say, "Hey, I'm coming over. Get ready." No, he comes without notice. We all understand that. But let's go on and ask question number 4. What will happen to the earth and that which is physical? Well, as we mentioned a moment ago, 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now let's notice the latter part of the verse. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now that's not man's doing. That's not climate change, global warming, whatever you want to call it. That's a hoax. God will take care of matter. That's what's going to happen according to the Word of God. And we need to accept that, not fall into the trap that so many have. That's what we need to stay with, God's Word. So, since this is what's going to happen to the earth and all that's physical, it's going to be burned up, gone, where is my treasure? Have I laid up treasures here on the earth where moth and rust can, you know, corrode it and thieves can take it? Or is my treasure in heaven? Am I laying up treasures in heaven? Jesus taught this in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:19-21. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's my heart, Bob Hawkins? We all need to answer that, do we not? Colossians 3:1-2 also apply to this. But let's go on. Question number 5 concerning the second coming of Christ. And this is vitally important for all of us to answer honestly. How will I respond when Christ returns? Yes, Bob Hawkins needs to answer this for himself, as well as you listeners. Will we be surprised and fearful, wanting to hide? Or will we be rejoicing and love his appearing, as Paul did? Paul wrote that he was ready to die, and when the Lord came again, everyone else, of course, that was like him would love his appearing. 2 Timothy 4:8. Paul had fought a good fight. He had finished his course and he had kept the faith. Henceforth there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me, but not to me only, unto all them that love his appearing. We want to be like that which Paul wrote about, do we not? So it depends on our preparedness. We need to be preparing for eternity every day. The second coming of Christ is one of the fundamental truths in the foundation of the Christian faith, as we've studied this morning. We've discussed these important questions. Why is Christ coming again? And what will be the manner of Christ's coming? When Christ will come again? Again, we do not know. We just don't know. No man knows, as we've discussed. And what will happen to the earth and that which is physical? We know that. It's going to be burned up, gone. So again, how will we respond to his coming is vitally important to answer. Are we seeking the truth with an open mind? Yes, we need to lay apart all those things that get in the way and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Why? Because it's able to save our souls. And again, we must be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves, as James 1:21-22 tell us. The day the church began, 3,000 hearts were opened to the gospel of Christ. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, Acts 2:41. We want to be receiving the word of God. Not what someone says that may be likable, smooth talking, sound good, but if it's not from the word of God, what do? We don't accept that, no matter who it is. Loved one, spouse, children, parents, whoever is teaching what is not biblical, we need to straighten them out as best we can in a loving way, but not follow them into the fires of hell. Jesus is coming again. The question is, will we be ready? And it's not too late to get ready if we have not done so. So this is for all of us to think about. As again, we don't know when that day will come. It may be today. It may be 100 years from now, or even more. The point is, if I'm still living, I need to be ready. And if Christ comes after my lifetime, I want to be in paradise awaiting the second coming, because it's a place of comfort. The place of torment is just that. And when we die, that's where our soul goes. It doesn't go straight to heaven or straight to hell. That's not biblical. Again, stay with the Bible. Study Luke chapter 16. Jesus told the thief on the cross, "Today I will be with thee," where? In paradise. Didn't say heaven. Then Jesus ascended later up into heaven. But again, the point is, am I ready now to meet the Lord? If not, I need to get right. If I haven't obeyed the gospel, I need to hear the truth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. As I study God's word, then I'm going to learn about Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God, who died on the cross for my sins and all others who are accountable. I need to believe that. And certainly once I do so, I'm ready to repent, make a change of will, and do the will of God. Turning my life around, I'm not going to go my way anymore. I'm going to go God's way. Luke 13:3-5. And then once I've repented, I'm ready to make the good confession unto salvation. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting close. Once I state I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, Romans 10:9-10, again, that's unto salvation. Once I've confessed that before others, I'm ready to be immersed into a watery grave. I'm being buried into the death of Christ. This is where I'm going to contact his precious blood that washes away my sins. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? And Jesus shed his blood in his death, did he not? John 19:33-34. Once I contact the blood of Christ, I'm forgiven of my sins. I come up out of the watery grave to walk in newness of life, and now to live faith. We thank you so much for listening today.